this a little bit closer. Turn your radio up so you can hear what I'm saying. Oh, now you got me turned on, baby. 800 million people with nothing to say. Running round in circles, they just living a day. But stick with me, baby. I'll show you how to fly. We'll mix it for the music. Watch the world.
Atlanta is your city, the city of Coca-Cola and of Subsonics. Usually bands, rock and roll bands, choose to have the article D in front of the name. The article D, the, in front of the name, the rock and roll band.
Oh, right.
Why did you opt for a name of the band without the article?
Because, so it would be more like Ramones.
Right.
See, you never say Ramones, you say the Ramones, but it doesn't have a the in front of it.
Right. And, well, tell me about the beginnings of the band. We start with the start. How did it first start?
Well, he had an ad in the paper.
I had an ad in the paper. And, you know, it's not that interesting. I don't know. I don't think anybody's interested in that, man.
I mean, I am interested in that because I'm interested in how you first started. Because information about Subsonics are quite scarce. So I'm really interested in your story.
Yeah, but we just make up a different story every time to make it interesting because it's not very interesting. So we would have to lie to make it interesting.
All the bands start with a reason. Did you have songs that you wanted to play?
I had songs for a long time. And you know, you have songs. I mean, you make a band so you have music that you like to listen to. You know, there wasn't. You know, say you know music that you would like to listen to. Yes.
Yeah, and the town. At the time when we were doing it, there were not any bands like what we were doing in our town. Like now, Atlanta is a very big scene, but back then, there was only like us, the Woggles. I can't even think of
anyone
really. Like, especially in the South, there was nothing going on, so it was basically like we kind of had to make our own thing. In the paper, and we played at a party together, and he had a bass player. You had another drummer too. You had someone. He had been auditioning drummers.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. I met the bass player because he was an acid dealer. And I was buying LSD from him, I think. And then he knew a guy that played drums, so we got that guy. He was a pot dealer. And I bought some pot from the drummer. He wasn't a very good drummer anyway, but he sold me some pot that was like, it had rat poison or something on it. So I had to kick him out of the band and this is after like a week. But I kicked him out of the band, you know. I said good luck and everything. And then, you know, so I had an ad in the paper for a drummer, and Buffy, you know, responded to the advertisement to audition as the drummer.
Can't find it too soon to feel less alone. One moment in time, the more that he looks, the more he goes blind. He's looking for something, he's starving inside. He's scared if he finds it, not terrified. He knows all the words, he reads all the signs. The more that he looks, the more he goes blind. If not terrified, he knows all the words, he reads all the signs. And the more that he looks, the more he goes blind.
Yeah, I like to say that I didn't like the police and the customs. They put dogs on around our bags to search for things. We're only here for a few hours. You know,
haven't they done that anywhere?
No, nowhere else in the world.
But as you know, from the press, they have a picture of you that you use drugs and so on.
It's not true we do use drugs. Who said we use drugs?
Every paper.
Well, that's full of shit, man. We don't use drugs.
Do you? Is it true that you don't, that you hate pressmen, as you said?
No, I like pressmen. You're lovely. I like the television too.
In a Stockholm newspaper, they wrote that you said on a press conference that they put stupid questions.
Oh well, yeah. Well, everyone has the right to do that, you know. And I have the right to give stupid answers to stupid questions.
What's a smart question?
What socks do you wear? What color socks do you like wearing? That's pretty smart. I don't like those people with those dogs, you know.
Yes.
I think that's custom. Awful. You know, that's not nice, you know.
Is it first?
We're visitors here, you know, and we come here to be nice to people. We don't come to be with dogs.
Tie up your pants. to follow me down.
It was written in the ad. Do you remember the content of the ad?
I remember a little of it. I remember it had like the Velvet Underground.
No, it listed actual drummers, not bands. It listed,
oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
It listed Mo Tucker,
you're right,
Nick Knox, yeah, and Tommy Ramone.
You're right.
And you have to be specific about Ramone's drummers,
no,
too.
No, I know. You're right.
Yeah.
But we didn't get along when we first met, so we had to meet again.
But the last 5 minutes has been different. Now we get along pretty good. Up until 5 minutes ago, it's been a fight all the time.
He had a drummer before me that would show up with just a snare and play in a diaper. So the bar was set pretty
high.
Oh,
yeah, that was another guy. I had another drummer for a little while, and he was a very skinny guy, about 6'6", with dreadlocks, and he played in a diaper, just a snare drum. He was a good drummer, but kind of a crazy guy. And then he was in prison for 25 years, so.
Well, he's out now, so.
Yeah, he's out of prison now. He was in prison for 20 years, so he couldn't play. So I had to get another drummer.
What, in 1990
or? No, 1992. We were just playing for about 2 months before we made our first record.
So you had all the, have you been writing material together, or at that moment you had songs that you wanted to record?
I had songs, and then when we started playing, we wrote songs immediately too. So it was both.
So it's Ramones, it's Velvet Underground, it's the Cramps. What were your first musical memories? I can hear both. I can.
Oh, as a child?
Yeah.
Ah. Well, I grew up in Florida. First musical memories. You could hear. We would listen to the Grand Ole Opry on radio. Grand Ole Opry. Hee-haw, television show. My parents watch Hee-haw. I don't know. My parents had some bullfighting music records. I had a Batman record that was all instrumental rock music. So I had a Batman a Batman record. It was
by the Marvelettes?
No, it wasn't. It was by the Sensational Guitars of, I believe it was called the Sensational Guitars of Dan and Dave.
All right.
And it was just instrumental kind of rock and roll music. But I found out later that Sun Ra played organ on it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
As a session musician, yes.
That's super cool.
Sun Ra was on it. So that was a cool record. And then, I don't know, the other record I had was, I don't know, Magical Mystery Tour.
All right.
Yeah.
What about the pioneers of rock and roll? When did you get into that?
Well, you know, you would see stuff like, you know, Little Richard and Bo Diddley on television. You know, Little Richard was on TV, you know.
What years are we talking?
As a child, I was born in 1961, so, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you remember seeing Bo Diddley on TV in 67?
Yeah, Bo Diddley. Yeah, and Little Richard, you know, really, Little Richard was on TV fairly often, you know, from about, I don't know, 1966. You know, Soupy Sales was a guy that had a children's television show about 1966, and he would play Little Richard. He would play Little Richard, like, he would play Tutti Frutti, and he had hand puppets. There were hand puppets. That's Soupy Sales. You probably didn't get Soupy Sales in Yugoslavia, but... Yeah, you know, but Little Richard was on TV all the time, and I love Little Richard, and, you know, because he was such an alien, you know?
Mm-hmm. What about Buddy Holly? How much... Was he present in your musical collection?
Oh, a lot. Buddy Holly was great. And, you know,
you know, these that kind of music was just sort of part of, you know, collective cultural consciousness, you know, at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was, anyway.
Telecaster, 57 Telecaster, Fender.
What is the most important thing in your life?
Living.
Turns your heart to a bruise. turns your heart to a stone. Just let it ring, don't answer the phone. 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 A word leaves you with a wound and knocks the breath out of you. It cuts you down to the bone. Just let it ring. Don't answer the phone. Don't answer the phone. Don't answer the phone.
High school, did you have musical experiences? Did you try to set the band?
You know,
everybody wants who's into music to have a band in high school.
You know, in high school, actually it was maybe a little before high school. I suppose when I was about 13 or something, I had this friend named Chip George, and Chip George and his brother played once at the school. Yeah. And I don't think I even knew that he played the guitar, but he played an electric guitar, and his brother played with him also an electric guitar, and they played House of the Rising Sun, and that was an instrumental version, and it was really, I was really impressed with it, you know, because he was like the first person I knew that played an electric guitar. And then I knew this other guy, this black guy named Gary Harris, and he played left-handed just like Jimi Hendrix, and I was really into Jimi Hendrix. And
he played left-handed, Ibanez Strat copy, a white Strat copy. The only thing I ever heard him play was the Pink Panther theme, but he was really good. I was impressed that he could play the Pink Panther theme, you know? Yeah. So, I never really had a band in high school. I had a band right after I got out of high school, but, you know, it was pretty terrible because the music that people liked conventionally at the time wasn't the kind of music I liked, you know? So I was trying to play, you know, something like the Velvet Underground or something like that, and these guys were trying more like to do, you know, Grand Funk Railroad or something.
And it doesn't go that well together.
Yeah, no. So it just, and really it was just there was one guy who I guess kind of started the band. He was a bass player. He was very, you know, very musical guy, and he wanted to start a band so he could meet girls, you know, and he was very frustrated because it was so shitty. It was obvious it was never going to be like a professional rock band that would enable you to meet girls, you know, so it just kind of didn't go anywhere. It kind of dissolved, and, you know. And then there's other things, like you're playing in abandoned houses and the police get called and things.
What about you, Bobby? What about your musical upbringing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess when I was little, I had like Dolly Parton record, and I had Elvis record. I didn't have a lot of music in my house. My mom didn't like music that much. So probably when I was like 14 or 15, we started, I think probably when I was like 14 or 15, in Florida, there was like, I grew up in a different part of Florida than him, but there was like a little bar that during the week it was a country western bar, but then sometimes on the weekends they would have cool bands. So it was pretty easy to get in if you were young there. You could sneak in. So I saw a lot of bands. It was a place called Miss Lucky's. So we would sneak in and see bands, and then I started to see a lot of good bands.
Do you remember any?
Pretty young.
Who did you see that?
Well, that place was mostly like local bands, mostly like punk bands, like Jehovah's Sicknesses or the Belching Penguins or whatever. But then as I got like into the 80s, you know, in Florida we saw, like, the Ramones came all the time, or, I don't know, a lot of new wave bands, in the 80s a lot of bands came down there, so it was a good time. It was a good time for music.
When did you guys start touring Europe? When did Europe opened the doors to you? When did you guys had the European tour?
Well, what was it, about 1998 or
yeah,
something?
I think so.
About 1998, I think.
With Cynics.
It was under the auspices of being on Get Hip, yeah. Because, you know, they had been to Europe and all that.
Spain, really.
It was really just Spain, you know. Yeah. And then
Spain is such a good country for garage rock.
Yeah, for us it was very easy because we went with our friends and they knew everything. So, yeah, it was that.
From scratch, I'm standing on top of the hatch. We'll play records on the platform and dance. I got my hand right there on the latch. It didn't necessarily lose it. I'll hit some girl on choosing. I feel these guys myself. Long rules I can spin on the end with a neck so broke. Yeah, I'll laugh till I choke on a joke. I'll laugh till I choke on the joke. I feel these gallows between electric chair and guillotine. The view up there is so beautiful and serene. I built these gallows myself. So wild home in a sing song.
Subsonics, have you played throughout from the beginning, or did you have some phases where you kind of were less active, or the band?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, that's the same as sometimes your bowels are less active too, you know. Sometimes you shit more, sometimes less.
I mean, I want to say, had the band been inactive during some times, like, that you've stopped?
Yeah, for a couple of weeks.
All right.
Yes, we stopped for a while. We had we had stuff going on.
Like 3 months or something. It wasn't a long time.
You were from Florida. How did you get to Atlanta?
By car.
Yeah, but you just relocated, going to another city or?
Yeah.
Work. There was no work. Like, for him, it was work, and for me, it was school. So.
Yeah, there was. You know, Florida was. You know, Florida is. If you're smart, it's not. Florida's not a place probably that you want to stay. That's why everyone in Florida is kind of stupid, because all the smart people leave.
Yeah, well, I've heard that some people say it's the most isolated part of the U.S.
It's not the most isolated. I suppose that would be Alaska or Hawaii, but...
It's very weird. It's a weird place.
It's a very strange place. It's kind of... It has a lot of elements of a border town.
Yeah.
Where a lot of maybe kind of sketchy people are there because it's all a coast. So it's kind of like a border, you know? So... And a lot of people just kind of drift down there. It's like all the shit sinks to the bottom, you know? Sorry with the scatological references. Sorry about that. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, all the rocks just sink to the bottom. And it's a lot of people there that are maybe have mental problems and are criminals. So, you know, it's not necessarily a good environment to stay in.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
But the choice between the blue and the red pill is not really a choice between illusion and reality. I want a third pill.
Revolution number 9, I'm Charlie. I'm Charlie. I'm Jesus. Well, I ate your crumbs, I licked your shoe, but you're just a political piggy who locked me up in a cold jail cell. You made me die in a living hell. I'm Charlie. Yeah, I'm Charlie. Look in my eyes, little girl. Take off your clothes, little girl. Shave your head, little girl. Go out and kill them, little girl. I'm Charlie. Sex in prison, I don't need girls. I've X myself from your little world. But one day on your knees in the desert sand, you'll say, Charlie, please lead me to the promised land. I'm Charlie.